We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples with Dr. Brian Lubbers, joining us here from the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine. He's an associate professor, food animal therapeutics, and a contributor also to the Beef Cattle Institute podcast, and some neat stuff you can find online for that. We're talking about cattle diseases, primarily respiratory, because that is the most common. And there is a lot of improvement happening right now as far as technology is concerned. And I know, Dr. Lubbers, you're going to chat about that here with us this morning. Oh, let me get your mic. I had your mic turned off. Let me try that again here. So you are going to talk about some of the technology that's kind of improving some of the treatments, correct?
Yeah. So like we talked about earlier, Brandon, one of the big challenges with diagnosing respiratory disease, or really a lot of diseases in cattle, is getting an accurate diagnosis. So when cattle show signs of illness, they're usually non-specific, meaning they could be any one of several diseases. And so determining if it's respiratory disease versus something else is kind of a big deal for us. And so and one of the challenges also is that we don't have people that are as familiar with agriculture. And so within our labor pool, finding people that are comfortable stepping in, you know, as a new hire to diagnose these sometimes can be a challenge. And so what we've seen is technology is starting to fill some of those gaps for us, where we can take an animal that's showing these non-specific signs, or we can take a person that's working with these animals that isn't highly trained and help us to be better at diagnosing illness and then administering the right treatment for that illness. And so, and really the technology is kind of all over the place. We have currently, right now, we have a product that's being marketed, which is an electronic stethoscope, for example. So, excuse me. Most people probably aren't used to listening to lung sounds through a stethoscope, and so a company has come along and they've developed a stethoscope that can pick up these different sounds, and then doesn't just record the sounds, but it uses an algorithm to basically determine does the animal have respiratory disease or not, and so it takes out the. We don't need a person that's highly trained listening to lung sounds to be able to make the diagnosis. We just need somebody that's able to, okay, we can train them to place the stethoscope in these areas on the animal's side and listen for a few seconds and then let the electronic algorithm do its thing, right? And so that's kind of one of the big examples of things that's already in place now. We have some of the other examples that we have. So people are using drones now. So as we mentioned earlier, you know, like I said, cattle try to hide those signs of illness. And so observing cattle is really, really important, and doing it as frequently as possible, which in most farm systems, that would be, once a day, maybe twice a day if they were in a more confined system where they were close up. We could see them in pasture settings. It's hard to do that. So maybe once a day, maybe once every couple of days would be common. And so, you know, people can be more effective using drones. It can fly a drone out there. I can observe all my cattle without expending the time to actually go out and find everybody, especially if they're on a large expansive pasture like some of the ones we see here in the Flint Hills of Kansas. So those are some of the things that people are using right now.
All right. And I know a few months back I saw some articles about the facial recognition technology. Has that come to fruition yet?
Nope. But that is one of the things we're amongst some other things that we're looking here at K-State. The recognition is one thing. So that's identifying an individual animal. But we have some folks here that are using the same kind of technology that are actually looking at facial expression to determine if cattle have an illness. So they call it a grimace response, right? It's kind of when you're in pain and you squint your face and you make your facial muscles tight. They're looking for those same kinds of signs in cattle as well to help diagnose illness. And that one's not in play right now, right? That's something that's under investigation. Some of the other things people are looking at, people have looked at behavior monitoring. And so cattle get ear tags as an identification system, and they can put tags in there that also have GPS and locomotion trackers. And so we know that when cattle get sick, they don't move as much, they don't go up to the feed bunk to eat. So we can use that kind of behavior data to help us determine if an animal isn't moving as much within a pen or a pasture as they normally do, that might be an early sign of illness, something that would tip us off that, hey, maybe that animal needs a closer look and we should bring them up. One of the tools that's currently under investigation, I have a graduate student that's working with me, and we're using an instrument called an electronic nose. So it is exactly what it sounds like. It's a instrument that detects smells, and it's sensitive enough that what we're hoping what we'll do is we can smell cattle breath to determine if an animal has respiratory, if an animal with respiratory disease has a different smell signature than animals that are healthy. So kind of some neat stuff out there, really kind of cutting edge tools that people are working on here at K-State.
That is pretty interesting. And I imagine the technology is good to have. It doesn't substitute, obviously, for, you know, the hands-on stuff that the veterinarians provide. But I imagine the whole goal here is creating more efficiency.
It is more efficiency and more accuracy. That is correct. And you're right. There isn't a substitute for a highly trained person to help come along and confirm it. Like you said, with the labor pool being tight, this is kind of helping to fill some of the gaps, but not all of them. And you know, we've been studying respiratory disease in cattle for over 60 years now. And what I think we're coming to is that there probably isn't one tool that is going to be the kind of silver bullet for diagnosing disease, right? We often have to use these things together, kind of a holistic approach to managing our cattle where, you know, maybe we are using a behavior tracking system to help us detect disease earlier. But then we have to use one of these other tools to, once we've identified that animal, we bring them up for a closer examination, and then that would be a place where we're using like a stethoscope or an electronic nose or something as a more confirmatory test. So they're often used together to make the picture even better and more efficient. Yeah. And the other thing that's coming along with it is the records are really important. So, once we've identified that animal, once we've treated that animal, we have to have the records to help us manage better in the future. And so things like, you know, are our treatments working like we think they should? Are they effective? And if they're not, then we need to change them. And the records are really important. And everybody has a smartphone now. So we have apps, for managing animal health records that kind of complete that picture, Brandon.
That is so important. Is that a database for the entire state then, or when you keep those records, or is it just
those apps? The data is proprietary to the individual farmer, so that is data that they're using to manage their own herd, and often in conjunction with a veterinarian or another animal health professional that's helping them kind of evaluate the data for their farm. There is some publicly available data. Like I said at the beginning, the USDA does surveys of farm systems across the country, and it's a representative sample. They don't survey everybody, but they sample enough to get a picture of what's going on at the industry. And if people are interested in those, like, you know, what's going on with animal health in the United States, it's called the National Animal Health Monitoring System, or NAHMS, N-A-H-M-S. And they can go access those reports and what the USDA found in beef cattle production for last year.
Okay. Well, very good. Maybe they can figure out a way to get the beef prices going to maybe get a little more affordable here because it's been a little more expensive at the grocery store lately.
Yeah. Everything's a little more expensive at the grocery store right now. So, within animal health and beef production specifically, you know, being more efficient and using our resources, not just our labor, but our feed and our cattle resources too, the more efficient we can be in using those things, obviously that helps with those prices at the grocery store.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Lubbers, if anyone has any questions on this topic here, what's a good resource for them to go check out?
I always send people to the USDA. They have good, unbiased information. And obviously here at K-State, the Beef Cattle Institute website has some really good information for producers, but also for just consumers and the general public as well.
Okay, very good. Well, Dr. Lubbers, it's always good to talk with you here and everyone at the College of Veterinary Medicine. Appreciate the time this morning.
Yep, thank you very much.
All right, that's going to wrap up the first half of our show. Stay tuned. We'll have Manhattan Parks and Recreation up next here on In Focus.